Well, here he is. You know him. Congressman Ron Paul, leading advocate for freedom in our nation's capital, a member of the U.S. House of Representatives. Dr. Paul works for limited constitutional government, low taxes, free markets, return to a sound monetary policy. He is known among his congressional colleagues and his constituents for his consistent voting record. Dr. Paul never votes for legislation unless the proposed measure is authorized by the Constitution. The words of former Treasury Secretary William Simon. Dr. Paul is the one exception to the gang of 535 on Capitol Hill. He's our guest this hour in Coast to Coast. Congressman, welcome back.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
My pleasure. Well, first of all, let me ask you this. It appears that John McCain's going to get all the delegates he needs for the Republican nomination, but you're still in the race. How come?
Well, I guess because I've run a lot of races over the years, and it's usually for two reasons. One, to maximize a vote and win the election if I can. And I have won quite a few over the years. But also run for the long term. I'm trying to change things. I'm trying to change the country. I'm trying to, right now, reintroduce to the Republican Party the traditions that they used to believe in. You know, limited government and balanced budgets and a sensible foreign policy. So I still think it's worthwhile to keep running because I'm still getting support. We're raising money. We have money in the bank. And there's a lot of the supporters who want to go as delegates, and they're going through the process. And so I'm still in doing what they want me to do.
Well, and I like the idea to change. You know, I get a lot of emails about a lot of different subjects over the years, and, but I got to tell you, I've never gotten more about anybody than you. This Coast audience is so in touch with your desire to, you know, get this country back and get it back on a sound track. And well, this may sound like an endorsement for you. It's not. You're an American. You're a patriot, Congressman. And I wish all the other candidates at least would use part of your platform as they run.
Well, hopefully they will. Right now it doesn't look like it. But I think the support that we're getting, you know, we've gotten over 800,000 votes cast in Republican Party primaries, but there's a lot of people who give us support that really aren't involved in the Republican Party or in the primary process. You know, matter of fact, there are a lot of young people who aren't even voting, and other independents who haven't been involved, and a lot of Democrats send me support. So I think it's much bigger than that. And when especially when we go to the campuses, we realize that there's a lot of enthusiasm for the message, and they realize that the country's facing problems. And I think the other candidates are in many ways in denial, and they talk about so many things that doesn't have much to do with what our real problem are. You know, they get off on these frivolous issues. So I think we've tapped into something, and therefore I will stay engaged as long as there's an interest.
We're going to talk about a lot of issues with you this hour. We'll also open up the phone lines a little bit later on and get an opportunity for our listeners to ask you a question or two. I kind of want to use you as also my expert in the elections so far. As you look at the Democratic side between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, how do you look at that race? And do you have any feelings on who you think might get that nomination?
Well, I always, actually, at the beginning, I was completely wrong because I thought Edwards would be the candidate. And right now, the way these two are fighting and screaming and tearing each other up, I would think if he's in the race, he might be doing pretty well. But I guess after Edwards did so poorly, I've always thought that, it will probably be Obama, but I don't think I have much more insight than anybody else because every day it's a different story that comes out, and the media really works both of them over pretty well.
Oh, and it is like a roller coaster. Almost every other day, one is ahead of the other, and it just keeps shifting back and forth, back and forth.
Right, and I think so often it's on superficial issues, and they're not dealing with one I think they should be talking about. And none of them ever talk about monetary policy. I mean, how many times have they talked about worrying about a deficit? I mean, even John McCain is sort of in that category. He doesn't really worry about the deficit. And nobody talks about, you know, a change in foreign policy. Some say that we should stay 100 years. Others say we'll stay until we win. Nobody really expects our foreign policy to change, whether it's Iraq or how we treat the rest of the world.
Let's talk a little bit about Iraq, if we can, for a moment, Congressman. A few weeks ago, Pentagon report came out and said that there was no connection between al-Qaeda and Saddam Hussein at the time, which was one of the things that came up during President Bush's statements on why we are in Iraq and why we should stay in Iraq. And, of course, we've known all along that the weapons of mass destruction were never found. I don't know if they were ever there or not, but they were never found. As you look at the situation in Iraq, as you look at the economy here at home and the money we're spending over there, what would you do in this particular situation? It's one of those catch-22s now. If we pull out, I would assume that many of our supporters in Iraq are going to get slaughtered. If we stay, this could go on forever.
Yeah, not a very good choice. But the big problem is you don't even know who the supporters are. You know, for a while, we were fighting the Sunnis, and they were doing most of the killing over there. Now, there's been sort of a lull, which they say is a success from the surge, but it's been a little bit different than that. What we have done is we have literally rearmed the Sunnis, and they have quietly taken all our weapons. We have armed 80,000 Sunnis right now, and they've been fighting us. So they're just waiting for another day. So I don't know who our friends really are, because even the official Iraqi army, how do they know how many of those are infiltrators that are, you know, part of the Shiites or the Sunnis that might not be really wanting us there? I think the statistics show that the very vast majority, the large number of Iraqis, no matter which sect they belong to, don't want us there. So it to me is a powder game. I don't see any purpose in staying. We went in under false pretenses, and it's cost so much. We will leave. There's no way we can finance our empire that much longer, and this idea that we'll stay as long as it need be. Eventually what happens is a country runs out of money, and that's what our dollar is telling us. We overtax and we overborrow, and we still don't have enough, so we keep the printing presses running, and that's why our dollar is going down sharply, and the cost will go up. And I think we'll leave, if we don't leave now in a more graceful manner, we're more likely to leave later on in a more humiliating manner. But the plain truth is that the finances will determine it, probably not the politics of the debates going on in Washington.
Well, in terms of the finances, we see what's happening all over the place now with foreclosures and investment banks taking a bite and everything else. First of all, let me ask you about the Federal Reserve, which a lot of people are finally beginning to realize is not part of government, but it's part of private banks. What would you do with the Federal Reserve?
Well, it should be eliminated. We shouldn't have it. There's never been any proper authority. There's no constitutional authority for it. And what they do is not morally correct. You're right, because we've given this secret bank the privilege of creating money out of thin air. And that's counterfeit. So government is doing something that if you or I did, we'd go to prison, and then we assume, oh, it's okay. A few bankers in secret rooms can determine this, and a few people know what's happening. And when things are going well, they make billions and billions of dollars. And even when the market goes sour, it seems like some of them are able to get out rather gracefully and get big bonuses and survive. But I also know that getting rid of the Federal Reserve in one day is not, you know, feasible, that nobody's going to do that. So my plan has been for many, many years, as far back as the 80s when I was on the Gold Commission, is that you should phase back in to the system the constitutional right of having gold and silver currency. And today, with all the modern technology and computers, we could have two currencies circulating in this country. We have currencies circulating, and the values are changing every minute throughout the world. So I would re-legalize gold and silver so that people who are tired of saving their money in a dollar standard could save in a gold standard.
When an investment bank like Bear Stearns is starting to go under, and all of a sudden the Federal Reserve prints more money and lends it to J.P. Morgan, does that hurt us? Does that hurt us as a nation?
Oh, it's a disaster, and it hurts one group of people more than the other. It will, you know, it will be successful to some degree. J.P. Morgan will benefit, and maybe some of the people at the Stearns Company. And yet, the people who suffer the most are the ones who get to use the money down the road, because they have now probably pumped in close to $400 billion into the economy, trying to keep this bubble going. But when they do dilute the value of the money, another group of people get higher prices. So a lot of conservatives will argue, well, you know, the poor people, they never pay income tax. They don't really count. They pay the Social Security tax, but what they really get hit with is the inflation tax, because their inflation rate might be 15%. You know, they might only have medical bills and repair bills and gasoline bills and food bills to pay, and that rate of inflation is much higher. So when they have to pay those higher prices, they are just paying the consequence of diluting the value of the money. So that's what is so wicked about inflation. It helps one group at the expense of other. It usually wipes out a middle class. If you think of the third world nations, they don't even have middle classes. And this is why it was so bad in Germany in the 20s, is the middle class got wiped out. Mexico, you hear about the devaluation of the peso. The middle class lose all their savings. And this to me is so unfair and so damaging, and people are just starting to catch on. So I think our campaign has helped. We get a lot of interest expressed on our college campuses now about the Federal Reserve and monetary policy, which pleases me to no end, because that's something I've talked about for so many years.
Congressman, what is your take on what so many of us believe may be the long-term plan for this planet, and that is to try to get us all under the umbrella of a one-world government? And, you know, there are some who even theorize at this point that trying to collapse the American economy is one way to do that. Are you a believer in that possibility?
Well, I generally know, but I guess over the years, when I don't want to believe bad things, I more or less come around to looking at the evidence and come and thinking, holy man, maybe it is. You know, it used to just bother me to no end to think about how we might have been maneuvered into World War II.
Right.
You know, and you read these two sides of it, and I said, you know, especially as a young person, and when I was in the military, I said, oh, no, there's no way our government could actually do that. Then later on, I get to thinking, well, maybe what they do is they rationalize it is in our best interest, you know, to get into World War II. You know, it is the best for the world. And then they come up with rationalization. The suggestion that they'd have a world collapse, you know, of the financial system, still is a pretty overwhelming assumption, because it seems like the establishment has so much control anyway. It looks like having the Federal Reserve System and having the control of the banks and having control of the government, what more do they want? Why do they need a financial collapse? Because that's risky for everybody. So I guess I can't, I don't have a final opinion about that, but I guess nothing will be a surprise to me.
We've had strange bedfellows over the years, Congressman. Of course, you know, so many firms and individuals supported Adolf Hitler in the 30s. Of recent times, you know, as a government, the CIA supported Osama bin Laden, backed him, financed him to get the Soviets out of Afghanistan. The relationships are too weird when then all of a sudden you see these things unfold later on, don't you think?
Oh yeah, it's some people argue they can't be that stupid to make so many mistakes. There has to be some plan and plot behind all this, because they do it over and over again. But just with my experience in Washington, there's a lot of ignorance there, and I say that in the technical sense. I mean, they just don't know. People go along with so many things. Take monetary policy. Most members of Congress don't really know, nor do they care about how the monetary system. They'll come up to them and they say, you know, I want to ask you this about the Federal Reserve, because I don't understand anything about the Federal Reserve. And they're telling me the truth, you know, and there's some of them are on the banking committee, you know.
Which is scary.
Oh, yeah, it is. But others, there must be always a smaller group of people, you know, that orchestrates, the whole plan, who devised the Federal Reserve system. That wasn't done, out of ignorance, and they knew what they were doing, and they were looking to have control. So it is, foreign policy, though, is the one that really bothers me the most, because you already mentioned some of the ridiculous things that we have done. I mean, first we're an ally with Osama bin Laden, and he's our arch enemy. And then we help, and we were friends with Saddam Hussein. Actually, we started a lot of these radical Islamic schools in Saudi Arabia, and our CIA was involved with that. I mean, we helped radicalize that. But the logic there was that if we radicalize the Islamists, they would be, a help in fighting the communists.
Exactly. Hey, Congressman, stay with us. We got to take this quick break. We'll be right back with you with Congressman Ron Paul. We'll open up the phone lines. I want to talk with him about the Internal Revenue Service and a few other issues, and then we'll take your calls, too. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Demand at 970WFLA.com. Fox News Radio. 970WFLA. It's 1:30.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Stanley. Sparring across the aisle over Iraq. From America's election headquarters, John McCain touting progress in Iraq after his visit to the country and taking his rival candidates to task over withdrawing troops.
I'm wondering when they're going to stop advocating a date for withdrawal when we are succeeding in Iraq.
But Hillary Clinton saying a milestone points to anything but success.
5 years after the start of the war, there have now been 4,000 U.S. military deaths in Iraq.
President Bush also saying Monday the fallen soldiers did not die in vain. The mayor of Detroit facing perjury and other charges for lying about an affair with a former aide. Mayor Kwame Kilpatrick denying the allegations and refusing to step down. And all aboard for Planet Earth, Space Shuttle Endeavour undocking from the International Space Station. Endeavour returning to Earth Wednesday night, completing a 16-day mission. Fox News, we report, you decide.
This traffic report is brought to you by Pinch a Penny. In St. Petersburg, I-275 closed in the southbound direction at 54th Avenue. You'll be diverted off the interstate. You can get back on the other side of 54th Street. And in Tampa, construction has two lanes of I-75 southbound closed between Fowler Avenue and I-4. Visit Pinch a Penny for a free computerized water test. Pinch a Penny makes pool care as easy as ABC, so why shop anywhere else? Check your mailbox for special offers with savings up to 25%. And visit PinchaPenny.com to find the store nearest you. If we're not saying what you're seeing, call the traffic tip line 866-545-9595. The Bright House Business Solutions Traffic, Reed Kaufman, 970 WFLA.
Very chilly overnight, 44 for a low temperature, about 15 degrees below where we normally expect it to be this time of year, and a cool breeze from the north. 74 a high, plenty of sunshine, nice warm-up. The warming trend will carry into Wednesday after a cool low of 51, a high of 77 degrees under mostly sunny skies, nice into Thursday too with a high of 79. This is News Channel 8 Chief Meteorologist Steve Jervey for News Radio 970 WFLA.
Continuing coverage at the top of the hour and news on demand anytime at 970WFLA.com. Get to work without the worries. Plan your route ahead of time with real-time traffic updates at 970WFLA.com.
Hey, you got a breakfast. from somewhere deep below the earth. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. To reach George from west of the Rockies, dial 800-618-8255. From east of the Rockies, dial 800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George by dialing area code 818-501-4721. International callers may reach George by dialing your in-country Sprint access number and pressing option 5. Then dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks.
We're going to take your calls in just a moment with Congressman Ron Paul. They've got a great new promotion for you for the After Dark newsletter starting right now. When you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter, and a couple ways you can do that, 1-888-727-5505. Or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. You will receive a free CD, a little nominal shipping and handling fee, but a free CD called J.C. Webster Rants. That's right. Accumulation from Art's Days, mine, Ian's, of J.C. phone calls. I want to give it to you as a gift when you subscribe to the After Dark newsletter. So take advantage of it. The promotion just started today, but you're going to love the CD. Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with Congressman Ron Paul. Congressman, I've got to tell you, of all the politicians, you are one of the few who is truly loved, respected, and admired. It's truly amazing to see that happen.
Well, it makes me feel good, and I appreciate it.
Why aren't the other candidates utilizing some of the things that you've talked in your campaign, that you've said on this program? I mean, it's common sense. It's American. It's what people should be talking about and doing. Why aren't they doing this?
I think we're challenging the status quo and the establishment. I mean, if it's the Federal Reserve, it's the banking system, there's a lot of interest involved. If it's foreign policy and we say we don't need quite this expenditures on all this activity around the world, then you're challenging the military-industrial complex. If you're challenging the medical system, when we've had managed care now for 35 years and now they're talking about going to socialized medicine, well, the drug industries and the insurance companies and HMO, they all like that. So there's a lot of special interests, and the special interests pour in the money. You know, we did pretty well, you know, raising money in our campaign, but it was all from small donations, individuals. But these other campaigns will raise $100 million, and it doesn't come from small donors. Well, some of it would, but most of it comes from the special interests, large corporations that do the bundling. They put all their executives together, and they can go out and still get $1 million or $2 million at a clip. But it comes from the special interest, and everybody comes to Washington because Washington controls everything, whether it's the tax code or the regulations or all the contracts the government's going to let. So they're not about to take this on because it's very unpopular. And the major media is all interconnected there. The media is interconnected with the military-industrial complex, and therefore a candidate like myself can get easily marginalized, whether it's at debates or, you know, on the
That's
evening
true.
News. And so in spite of all those shortcomings, you know, because of the radio talk shows like yours and like on our internet, we've been able to reach a lot of people, and I think it's been in some ways an equalizer for us, and we've been able to get a message out. We haven't been able to achieve the top number of votes, but I think we did get a message out to a lot of people.
Do you believe that if we lived on a planet that was totally peaceful, I mean, nobody was fighting, that special interest groups would create problems in order to create war and possibly even terror?
Well, it seems that is human nature, unfortunately. You know, we were told there'd be wars and rumors of wars, so it must be ingrained into the human soul in many ways. Which bothers me to no end because I don't understand it. It just seems so foolish. I just cannot conceive how our people can, the people of the world can always be fighting and killing each other and reject the idea. I mean, we don't seem to make any progress. I mean, we just keep doing the same thing over and over again and not ever using just common sense.
All right, let's go and take some phone calls. Wildcard line, you're on the air with Congressman Ron Paul. Hi there.
Hello.
And where are you calling from?
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
All right, take it away.
My name is Kaylin. And Congressman, I'm just so glad to hear that you're still in the running. My yard signs are still there. My bumper stickers are still there. And I'm still passing out your Jimmy card.
Wonderful.
So I'm thrilled. But I got to ask you, is anyone in Congress paying attention as to our public lands that are being sold to private enterprises, like our roads and our highways that are being sold off? Is anybody screaming about that? And the other thing is our real estate. You know, we're the only country in the world that allows 100% foreign ownership in real estate. And now with what's going on as far as the economy and this whole housing crisis that we have in this country, these homes and, you know, our homes are being bought up by foreign interests. And, you know, there's the euro is so strong. We have Europeans coming here buying up real estate. And we won't have any. I mean, it's going out the back door. Is there any talk at all in Congress about changing the law like other countries of the world?
The idea of them buying up the highways and things like that, there is a lot of talk about that, and there we've made some progress. When they talk about the NAFTA highway and things, there's a large number of us who have talked about it and have at least had token votes, symbolic votes opposed to it. And there's a great deal of talk about restraining this right of eminent domain. So many local communities and governments come in and take it, and they take it from a small owner and give it to somebody else where the government thinks it would be better off. Now, dealing with the problem of dollars coming back here at home, that is more complicated and more difficult. The real problem there is that we were privileged as a country to print the reserve currency of the world. So we weren't encouraged to work anymore or save. We were allowed to print money, and because the dollar was assumed to be as good as gold, everybody took it. So all those dollars go overseas. And in many ways, you want people to spend money here because that keeps our businesses going. And it's not so easy to say, well, you can buy a car, but you can't buy a condo. And but the problem you're talking about is very, very serious, but it is a symptom of the monetary system as much as anything else. But there has been talk, and we've had some votes when it comes to vital industries. You know, when they come in and own our ports, I think we had a major vote on that to try to make sure that, a foreign government didn't take over our ports. So on some occasions, for national security reasons, yes, I think we have a responsibility. But you don't want to say it's only because they're spending dollars back here, because in many ways that would help us if they would spend more dollars. Our problem is we printed so many, we sent so many overseas, and we had like a free ride for a long time. Now, when these dollars come floating back, what it's doing is giving us the inflation. When the money comes here, it just pushes up prices. It doesn't increase our productivity. We've undermined our system. Our good jobs are overseas now. So we've messed it up, and that's why so many of these problems can go back to the monetary system and the Federal Reserve that has really messed us up.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. Joe, where are you calling from? Hi.
I'm calling from Norwich, Connecticut.
Okay, Joe, go ahead.
Congressman, I just wanted to ask you, first I'd like to say before I ask my question, I have a lot of respect for you. You seem like one of the few politicians that actually will stick to their guns regardless of what anyone thinks. That being said, my question is, how do you feel about the fact that maybe you have a certain section of followers that are so caught up in the ridiculous conspiracy theories such as 9/11 was caused by America or we didn't actually go to the moon, that it tends to detract from your legitimacy. And do you plan on doing anything about it, or is there, have you tried to address that, or...
Well, you know, I can't do a whole lot about it. And I think to some degree what you say is true. But the whole thing is when you defend freedom, you defend your right to think and do whatever you want as long as you're not hurting other people. So I would defend freedom of religion. And there's a lot of silly things that go on in the name of religion. So if you join me because of your religious beliefs and you know that I'm not going to bother you and I'm not going to arrest you for it, yes, you would join and say, yeah, they'll leave me alone. This is one reason why, if you want to talk about true diversity, you have to look at what the kind of people that would support us and that come to our meetings, much more so than all this other talk about diversity and bringing people together. So now I can't control what people think. Now, I don't have to endorse what they think. But if you endorse freedom, all of a sudden you bring people together that are quite different, and they will have different views. And I don't make any attempt to try to sort it out. We've gotten 40,000 different people sign up on our web page. There's no way I could monitor it, and I'm really not even going to try. But if somebody comes up and say, "Well, what do you believe?" and if they ask me, "Do you think the towers went down by microwaves from outer space?" I'll say, "No, I don't believe that. You know, I just tell them what I believe, and that's to me what is the most important is I tell people what I believe."
You know what I'd like to see, Congressman, is perhaps the 9/11 Commission reopened again, a new investigation with some of these professors and scientists who have brought some pretty fascinating information forward, which really was never looked at during the original investigation.
And I can agree with that, and that's my position. I think it should be reopened. I think that it didn't solve any problems, yet I don't claim I know the answers, and I don't say our government did it. And I know some of my supporters would say that. Oh, yeah, I know our United States government actually did this as part of a conspiracy. And I don't personally believe that, and I don't say it, but I still am not satisfied with the investigation. There's a rare government investigation that I am satisfied with, because usually what they do is they're just covering up their ineptness and all other kind of problems. I mean, look at the assassination of Kennedy. I mean, I think 80-some% of the American people don't believe that Oswald did that all by himself. So
yeah.
Nobody has trusted those kind of investigations. But our big problem there, unless you can really trust your government, so we get a Hillary in or a McCain in, and they say, "Oh, okay, the people want to have another investigation. Are you going to be happy with the next investigation?" If you don't have absolute confidence in the person, in the individuals in your government, to just have another investigation, you know, will be to cover up the other investigation,
yeah.
You know.
Well, that's true. And what has happened here, and we can sense it, we can feel it, you feel it. That's part of your campaign, your platform. People have lost trust in government in all areas, in their ability to turn the economy around, in the war in Iraq, in what is true and what isn't. I don't think, honestly, this vice president gives a hoot about middle America. We got problems there, Congressman.
Yeah, and I think you make the perfect point that people have lost confidence in the government because government's not working very well. And one analogy I use is how inept they were, the government was, in dealing with Katrina and New Orleans. And all the money we spent and all the trailers we bought and just passed out checks. And, you know, it still hasn't solved the problems down there. Central economic planning is just lousy. But that sort of came about, you know, with the mess we have in Iraq and our economy going down and then the ineptness on trying to solve these problems. This is why government that is decentralized is so much better than centralized government. They get the money, they get the control, and the special interests take over. And that's where we are today, where the people lose out. They confiscate through taxation, then they confiscate by just stealing the value of our dollar.
Next up, west of the Rockies, you're on with Congressman Ron Paul. Hi there.
Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Hi. My question to, well, first I want to say to Congressman Ron Paul that I met you in Colorado Springs recently when you had come out here. You were campaigning, and I wanted to thank you for taking the time to meet with us and talk to us about your issues and your platforms. And my question is, I wanted to know, how open are you to the possibility of perhaps running as an independent candidate in this election?
I'm not considering it. I don't have that as a plan. I'm going to still keep doing what I'm doing now as long as the support is there in the primaries that are left, and hopefully can have a presence at the convention. But there has been a lot of people who ask and speculate about doing it as an independent or libertarian or constitutional party member, but that's not part of my plan right now.
Would you, if you don't get the nomination, support John McCain?
No, I've said that I wouldn't be able to because I don't think we agree on anything. But I also have to add, you know, if he changed his position, all of a sudden had a different foreign policy and different monetary policy and got rid of McCain-Feingold and repudiated the No Child Left Behind that he voted for and all these other things. Now, I just don't see how I could support him with the positions that he holds.
If you don't get the nomination, I'd love to have you here on Election Tuesday, that night in November, to do a little analysis for the first hour or so, if you're available.
Well, it's hard to say where I'll be.
Who knows? Who knows? Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on the air with Congressman Ron Paul. Hi there.
Hi there.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the way to my community's commemoration of the loss of our 4,000th soldier in Iraq, my 11-year-old daughter asked me if Ron Paul was running. And I honestly didn't know the answer, so I'm glad to know that you're still in there and giving John McCain his money's worth. And as a progressive Democrat, I'm willing to vote for the presidential candidate who's smart enough to recruit Dennis Kucinich for vice president. So I'd like to know what you think about a mixed ticket idea.
Well, I think it's a good idea, and Dennis is a good friend. We talk a whole lot, and he knows I'm still in the race, and he and I probably have voted together on foreign policy issues more than any other two people in the Congress, and sometimes there's only two of us up there, and it'll be Dennis and myself, so our evaluation of foreign policy and on personal liberties are the same. We have disagreement on economic policies, but I work very well with him. We have not been specific in talks about president and vice president and that sort of thing, because he's in the Democratic Party and I in the Republican Party, and he had to campaign hard for his congressional seat. So I haven't given that any serious thought either.
What would you do with the IRS, Congressman?
Get rid of it quickly.
What form of monetary tax raising would you have, if any?
Well, I'm not anxious to replace it at all. You know, I want to cut spending enough where you don't need it. People say, "Oh, that's impossible. How can you do that?" You know, if we didn't have the income tax, we'd have as much revenues coming in as we did 10 years ago. So that's still a lot of money. And we didn't have an income tax up until 1913. They didn't get a significant amount until, World War II. So we've lived a long time without the income tax. And
some believe we don't even have the income tax law, that it's not really on the books.
Yeah, and there's a pretty good case for that, but they have more guns than we have, so for us to prove it, it's difficult. And if you really want to test them in court, too often they come with their guns and they put us away in jail. That's our big problem. But the biggest problem isn't the income tax is secondary to the spending. It's the fact that we as a people have accepted the idea that we're the policemen of the world and we have to be have 700 bases in 130 countries around the world, and we have a welfare system here that we can't afford. So what do? We tax, and we have the income tax, and it still isn't enough. Then we go to borrowing and printing. But the tax, the high taxation that we suffer from is a reflection of the fact that the American people have allowed their representatives in Washington to continue to spend.
And most of them say, well, that's right. We want less spending. Don't cut mine. Yeah, everybody has their program. And just think how many more people right now want to expand government control of medical care, and there's no cutting back on education. My only compromise on some of that type of expenditure is I am quite willing to support any program at home if we can get the money, not by taxes, but by cutting all this war spending. We spend $1 trillion a year maintaining our world empire. Jeez. So there's a lot of money there, and we could cut a lot of money and cut the deficit and still take care of some of these programs here that I don't particularly like. But I'm not going to start there. I'm not going to start on taking medical care away from the elderly. We don't have to do that.
Congressman Ron Paul, his website, ronpaul.com. Congressman, good luck in your campaign, and it's refreshing, and I hope you can make some change in our policy. Appreciate you being on the program. Congressman Ron Paul. And I'll be back in just a moment for the rest of the program. I would have held him over, but he was only able to stay 1 hour for us. So we'll be back in just a moment as we talk about the science of prediction on Coast to Coast AM.
It was not so sweet, so I turned myself to face me. I've caught a glimpse how the others must see the baker.
Why do I want a third party so bad?
He dares to say.
Because I want to wake the parties up.
What others only think.
Isn't it time to try something new?
Glenn Beck.
I want the Republicans to know.
They can't count on my vote.
I got news for you. The day I believed that the Democrats could defend this country better than the Republicans, I'm a Democrat.
The Glenn Beck Program, weekdays 9 to noon on News Radio 970.
And I think most people are like that.
WFLA.